I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord, and we're so excited about what the Lord is doing here at St. Paul. I'm grateful for our music department as they have led us this morning to lift up Zion songs in Christ's name. Listen, those of you who've been following along with us know that we've been in a series out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And man, I'm telling you, we're having a good time this little small book, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And those of you who've been following along know that we've been having a great time in the Lord. You know that we are at chapter 4, where Paul moves and shifts his exhortation, and we're going to pick that up today. Let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and eternal Father, again, we love you so much. We are so grateful that you have given us another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. Thank you that we are able to worship today in spirit and in truth, and we pray that you help us to loose the shackles that may hinder us and hold us back as we worship and praise you. Now, God, you know my constant and consistent prayer, again, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. We pray, O God, that you would touch these lips of clay, that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. Have your way today, Lord. Let them see none of me but all of thee in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read in our hearing. We'll read all the way to verse 8. However, today we're just going to highlight the first kind of two verses out of this chapter for our sermonic spotlight on this day. It reads as follows from the English Standard Version. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all those things, as we have told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit to you. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. This is part one of this that portion of Scripture, a walk in holiness, part one, a walk in holiness. My brothers and sisters, those of you who've been following along with us know that in the previous chapter, Paul devoted a substantial portion of his letter to reveal his heart and desire for ministry. And in case there was any doubt, Paul assured them of his love and devotion for the Lord and his church. He presented a challenge unto them through the life he had lived before them. And as we come to chapter 4, Paul turns his focus toward the church and the life the believers ought to live. The text verses we have read stands as an exhortation to all who read these words to live a sanctified life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. As I read this passage, I was reminded of the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, where Peter says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. In other words, beloved, it's the ideal of walking in holiness. It's a matter of sanctification in our own lives. The truth of the matter is, holy living and sanctification have little sermonic spotlights in the day in which we live. Our society has embraced an anything goes mentality, and there is little, if any, accountability today. That may have been accepted as modern philosophy, but we as children of God have an obligation to live a life that honors and reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at these verses, I want us to consider the responsibility a believer has as we think on a walk in holiness. Walk, the word walk is the ideal of life, or it's the ideal of lifestyle, a walk in holiness. First of all, Paul instructs them to be radically holy. That's where I want to land on this first part of a walk in holiness. He shares with them that he wants them to be radically holy. I picture Paul as a quarterback with a football, and as we run down the field, he's telling us to run deep toward the end zone. We're looking for a touchdown. We're looking to score or to win the victory, sort of as the Dallas Cowboys are doing in this day and age. They want to win. They want the victory. And that's what we see in this passage here. What we want and what Paul is saying is that this isn't something that's small or trivial or unimportant. It's something that should be radical, drastic, and transformational. It literally ought to be counterculture. I look at what Paul says in verse 1. He says, "Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so," the text says, "more and more." Notice the strength of the appeal. Finally, the word he says, finally, the little word finally does not signal a conclusion to what Paul is trying to say. It's a transition to the rest of what Paul has to say. He has already given the Thessalonian Christians, he is ready to give the Thessalonian Christians another reminder. He says, "For what I'm now writing to you is nothing new. Finally, brothers," he says, "we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ." He isn't saying, "Hey guys, it's time that you take a look at this, or what I'm about to say is worth checking out." No, this is an urgent request that he's trying to give them. He says, "I'm asking and urging you." What he says here is urgent and important, but notice Paul is using the word ask. The word in the Greek denotes a gentle, humble suggestion offered among equals. Paul is not using words of a military sergeant that is ordering a soldier to do something. He's not using the words of a slave master with the overtones of dictating something to a servant, or sovereign overtones of a monarch commanding a subject. No, unlike those leaders, Paul was not browbeating the Thessalonian church, but lovingly and gently and kindly asking and urging, meaning the word urging, meaning to come alongside and encourage, is where we get our word comforter from. He is urging them as brethren. What is he asking them to do? What is the appeal? What he says, that I've already know that you learn how to walk to please God, and that they already know how to conduct their lives in a holy way. They're already doing a good job. For Paul and Silas, we already know, and Timothy had personally instructed them while they were in Thessalonica. So what is Paul literally asking them to do? He has nothing to criticize. They're doing a good job, but he still has something urgent to say, and that is this. He says, "I want you to walk to please God just as you are doing, that you do so," here it is, "more and more." that you do so more and more. Listen, this is so important that we could spend all day on this point alone. Hear me, beloved. Instead of the Christian being like a telephone pole, we ought to understand we're like a tree. Both are made of wood, but in one there is growth and change, and in the other there is stagnation and death. Are you listening to me? So as Christians, we should not only get in, but also go on. We should not only come to know the Lord, but we want to grow in the Lord. As Christians, we not only want to show up, we want to grow up. Tap that in the comment sections. We want to show up, but we also need to grow up. Our lives are to be marked by spiritual growth. Are you hearing me? We ought to make progress in the things of God, and we ought to do so. The text says more and more. It reminds me, beloved, of June 6, 1944, the Allied troops landed on the beach of Normandy. When they did, they found the shore well fortified by German machine guns. Many of the men crouched behind the great wood and iron mines shaped as crosses and protruding from the water. Those who hunkered down in fear inevitably died, but those who kept moving, I hope somebody hears me today, had a much greater hope of survival. Hear me and hear me good, beloved, because listen, I think it's safe to say if a Christian has any hope of survival, victory, or triumph on this side, we must keep moving forward in the things of God. Truth is, there are only two gears in the Christian life, forward and reverse. There is no neutral gear. We are either moving forward or we are moving backwards. Whenever we begin to rest, we will begin to rust. Whenever we become comfortable, we'll become complacent. Whenever the flame begins to flicker, it will not be long before the flame goes out. Paul says, you already know how to walk and please God. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, you know what instructions we gave you, he says. He says, but I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, I'm urging you, I'm coming alongside of you to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. But he says, do it more and more and more. Listen, somebody in here listening to me right now, you're doing well. You've given your life to the Lord and you're trying your best. You're trying to do what thus said the Lord, and you're studying your word and you're praying without ceasing, and you're not forsaking the assembly, even though we are hunkered down in this pandemic. You are doing what you're supposed to do. Are you hearing me? You're showing up on the Zoom calls and you're there trying to engage and connect and all of that. You're in Bible study because you realize that there are strength in numbers. Listen, I just want to encourage you. Here it is. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep going hard for the Lord. Keep climbing up the King's highway. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. That is the strength of the appeal. And Paul is urging them, not browbeating them, not talking down to them. He is encouraging them to keep doing what they're doing. That's the strength of the appeal. But well, let me summarize the appeal if you're looking for the alliteration. What is the summary of the appeal? Paul is saying here two words. He's literally saying, don't settle for status quo. Don't just accept that you've arrived there yet. He says, I know you're doing well and you're already involved in Bible study. You're already going to Sunday school. You're already tuned in to Zoom. He says, don't stop. He says, but go the distance. You're doing good, but recognize, here it is, that you can still do better. Hear me, beloved. Hear me good, because some of us been in church since 19-0-nothing. We have been in leadership positions for years. And now I'm encouraging you that there is still much more that we can do. Paul actually uses two different words here, a verb and an adverb. He's telling them to do so more and more. It's interesting. He's saying, don't just do it, but keep on doing it. And if you do it more and more. Don't just abound, but keep on going in your abounding. Don't just overflow, but keep on pouring. Don't just strive, but thrive. Don't just run, but keep on running. Are you listening to me? That is what Paul is saying. God wants for them, but it's also what Paul is trying to convey to them. Don't just become a little bit more holy, but thrive to be the best that God wants you to be. Don't settle. That's a word for somebody today. Don't settle for where you are. Don't settle for where you are in your Christian growth. Are you listening to me? Now, note, Paul is not writing to super saints. He's writing to ordinary people. He's writing to people who have ordinary jobs and who get up in the morning every day and have to go to work. They got to cook breakfast and cook dinner and cook lunch. They got a whole lot of stuff on their plate. They got to get stuff done. He's writing to single people who wish they were married, and he's writing to married couples who are facing the stresses that married couples face. He's writing to people who have struggles, doubts, questions, and even fears. They've been hurt, and many of them abused, and yet he says, don't just become holy, but keep going and going and going in your holiness. Abound more and more. Don't settle for where you are right now. He says there's still much more that God wants to do with you. It reminds me of what C.S. Lewis once wrote when he said, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leak on the roof and so on. And you knew those jobs needed to be done, but to your surprise, he begins to knock at the house about a way that literally hurts you. You didn't want that wall out, and you didn't want that carpet up. Are you listening to me? And what you asked yourself, what on earth is God doing? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Are you hearing me? The truth of the matter is he's throwing out the old stuff and putting a new wing here. He's putting an extra floor there. He's running up towers and making a courtyard and doing things that you never thought he would do. What you thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. And hear me, beloved, a palace he intends to come and live in himself. Are you hearing me? That sums up what Paul is saying here. If you are walking with God, he says, keep it up. Urgently pursue more of God. God wants us to overflow in holiness. He wants us to thrive in holiness. He wants us to abound more and more and more in our holiness. Are you hearing me? The word there, abound, is the word in the Greek is perisuo. It means to excel, to abundantly supply, to overflow, to exist in full quantity. It to be over and above, to be advanced. It is closely, hear me, related to the word extraordinary or surpassing. Can I ask you this, beloved? Are you walking to please God? Are you walking or living to that your life might please God? Let me ask you this. If you're doing so, are you doing it more and more? Are you abounding more and more to the point to where you are doing extraordinary things for the Lord? My daughter always tells me, Daddy, you being extra. And I didn't know what that meant. I had to ask her one day. I said, sweetheart, you keep telling me I'm extra. I'm being extra. What does that mean? It means, she said, that you are putting more on something than it ought to be. You're exaggerating something, or putting a, as the young folks say, a 10 on a 20. Are you listening to me? Can I ask you this? When it comes to Christ, are you being extra? Come on, somebody help me. Extraordinary in your Bible study, extraordinary in your service, extraordinary in your prayer time with God. Listen, are you surpassing what is expected of you? That's the ideal that Paul says. I want you to abound. I want you to surpass. I want you to be extraordinary in the things of God. Listen, in your Bible studies, could you study more? Are you praying every day? But when is the last time you expanded your prayer list to involve some other folk that you perhaps God is asking you to pray for? You're helping others, but are there more people that God wants you to help? Could you share more about the goodness of God? Are you evangelizing? Are you getting the word out about how good God has been? Paul says, I'm asking, I'm urging in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us that you ought to walk to please God just as you are doing. And he says, I need you to do it more and more and more. Is that all right to say? Listen, are you striving to be extraordinary? That is, beloved, to sum up the appeal, I surmised the appeal. I gave you the strength of the appeal. But lastly, let me give you this. What is the source of the appeal? Listen, the source of the appeal is in verse 2. He also states it in verse 1, but verse 2 says, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Here, Paul speaks of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had given them a charge to fulfill, a life to live, and a ministry to perform. This was not an option, but it was an obligation. The Lord had not merely suggested that we live according to his word, but that he has commanded that we do so. From the very beginning, Paul had given a clear moral instructions on the life that they were expected to live in Christ Jesus. Let me say this again. Listen, living in a way that pleases God is not optional, but it is a moral necessity and obligation. And the Thessalonians knew this from the start because Paul had shared it with them. It wasn't optional whether or not they wanted to follow God. It was expected of them. And the source that he shares with the church at Thessalonica is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? No one in the church at Thessalonica could claim ignorance simply because Paul had shared it with them. Pleasing God ought to be, he's suggesting, the point of the Christian life. And even as our Creator and our Savior, he has a right to tell us how to live and expect us to obey. What is Paul saying? That the moral instructions with the missionaries gave the Thessalonians were not concocted by these men, but that these teachings came by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Paul, Silas, and Timothy may have been the messengers, but the truth originated in God. It is an echo of what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. In other words, as we're sharing with you, listen, it is as if God Himself is making the appeal for you to be right, do right, and live right. Are you listening to me? The words spoken and written were weighted with the authority of God Himself. Can I just share this with you? Listen, hearing that from Paul, it places on the believer the responsibility of obedience. It brings sobriety to what follows as Paul writes of sexual purity, love, and even of Christ's return later on in the chapter. Can I just say this on my way to heaven? Listen, in a day when the authority of God's word is not taken seriously, this text is a sober reminder that it is needed to be taken seriously. Those who teach must make a clear distinction, hear me, beloved, what the Bible says and human opinion. Listen, a whole lot of folk don't want to hear what the preachers say. They don't want to hear just turn to your neighbor. What they want to hear is what thus saith the Lord. They want to hear what God says. They don't want to hear man's opinion or what the doctors are saying or what the Ebony Magazine or the Sacramento Bee is saying. Folk need to hear what thus saith the Lord. I hope somebody hears me. And so those of us who teach the word must make a clear distinction between what God says and what my opinion is. Listen, I only want to teach you what the Lord says. I like the way the seasoned teacher of preachers, Dr. Haddon Robinson, always asked people who were speaking. He says, "Where did you get that?" Listen, that's a good question that we ought to ask every single time we hear the preacher stands up. It should be one that we ask ourselves when teaching or even giving advice. Where did you get that? Is that your thought? Is that what you think? Is that your opinion? Or is that the word of God? Listen, beloved, one of the biggest hindrances and pitfalls to the modern church is that that there are those who are willing to serve the Lord and yet treat His word and His desire for us as if it were a buffet. Are you listening to me? And when we read further on in some areas of our own personal habits, we'll find out that we don't have a right to pick and to choose when it comes to the things of God. We are commanded, yea, we are obligated to live according to His way and His will for our lives. All scriptures, therefore, our good, hear me, beloved, and admonition, and we must be obedient unto it. What is the source of this appeal? Paul says, I'm urging you, I'm begging you, that you might walk to please God. He says, the authority, I'm sharing it with you, is from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Listen, Paul, as a faithful teacher and overseer, he was diligent not only to impart truth to the flock, but also to apply that truth to himself and to motivate the people to apply it in an ever-increasing way. I want you to abound more and more and more. I want you to go the extra mile to please God. I want you to put a 10 on a 20 when you are trying, listen, beloved, to live a life that pleases God, to walk in holiness. I want you to be extra. Are you listening to me? That's why Paul told the church at Philippi that it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. That's why he told the church at Corinth that he says, just as you excel or abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness and in love, see that you abound in the grace of giving as well. That's why he told the church that you ought to be steadfast and immovable, always abound abounding, are always increasing, always going the extra mile in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you got to know that your labor is not in vain. Listen, beloved, that's the word for today. I want you to go on, and I want you to grow in Christ and go in Christ, and I want you to abound more and more. I know I see you growing, and I see you developing, and I know that you're not the same person you used to be. I know that you're making progress, and you're blazing inroads, and you're building strength. I want to encourage you to keep moving forward. Don't let the enemy take you back. Keep on advancing the Almighty for the Almighty. Keep on producing progress on this Christian pilgrimage. Keep on making headway on the King's highway. And as one writer put it like this, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into banner, see his banner go. Listen, another songwriter wrote it like this: we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We got to abound more and more. So I want to encourage you to hang in there. Keep on pushing your way through. And whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. And I'm going to encourage you to do it more and more and more. Keep on living for God. Keep on serving God. Keep on trusting God. Keep on walking with God. Keep on living a life that pleases God. That is, beloved, a walk in holiness. We see Paul's appeal. We see the strength of the appeal. He's coming alongside as a brother and saying, look, I know what you're going through. He also, we see, summarizing the appeal: don't settle for where you are right now. And I know you've been in church since 19-0-nothing, but there's still much more that we can do for the Lord, that our lives may please him. Thirdly, beloved, hear me and hear me good. The source of this appeal is the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to do this because the Lord commands us to live a life that pleases him. We'll talk more about it later on. Let's pray today. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to be let down again in the deep treasures of your word. In the first two verses, we see how your apostle has appealed to us in a very real way, that we ought to live a life that pleases you. And we pray every day, oh God, that you would help us to live that life. Loose us from the shackles that hinder us and hold us back. And help us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, help us, oh God, that we might be all that we can be, so that our lives may please you. In the name of Jesus, amen and praise God. Listen, beloved, perhaps you're here with us and you hear this urgent call to walk or to live a life that pleases God. The first step in doing that is that you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. The Bible declares that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that if we would believe it and confess it with our mouth, the Bible says that we shall be saved. That is simply entering into a relationship with Christ, God, by relying on what Christ did for us on Calvary. You're out there today and you don't know the Lord for yourself, or you want to understand what it means to be a Christian. There's a number that's flashing across the screen, and I pray you call that number and someone on the other end will pick up the line and lead you through God's word. Not man's opinion, but what God says concerning salvation. Secondly, if you're listening to me today, but you are a Christian, but you don't have a church home. Listen, your search can end today. Ah, yes, your search can end right now. Call that same number. You already know the Lord, and that person will pick up the line, and they will lead you to what it means to be part of the St. Paul family. Listen, there is privileges when it comes to membership. Listen, when you become a member of St. Paul, you got the people of God that will help you and grow and mature in the Lord. You got people that will connect with you, that can help you to serve the Lord in various ministries. So call the number and someone will pick up the line and they'll lead you on what it means to be part of this church family in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Most gracious and eternal Father, if there's one who need to make a decision today, we pray, Lord, that you meet them right where they are in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Listen, beloved, I'm done for the day. It is Sunday. And I know some of y'all are haters out there. The Cowboys are going to be on. And so I need to go on, let y'all go so you can watch the Cowboys on television. I wish somebody would help me. So listen here, beloved. Understand this. We are entering again into the discussions of reopening. The numbers are getting better. And again, we're listening to the experts. And I know you're already saying, Pastor, the stores are open and the banks are open and all of that. And the ball game is open. And so we are entering in discussions about reopening. Keep your eye open. Keep your heart open. Pray for us as we push toward another reopening date. It is not quite in stone yet, but we'll talk more and more about it. Look on the website and follow up, call the church office, and we'll give you more details. And you'll hear more about it in the coming days. Also, remember that our fall festival, Harvest Festival, is coming through. It will be a drive-through for all of our children of all ages. And I pray you come on and be part of that. Join us next Sunday. Between 5 and 8, and there will be multiple stations for you to drive through and plenty of treats and fun that's going to be planned for you. Also, here's an urgent request that I'm asking those of you who work for the state. Our sister, Sister Demetia Jackson, recently had surgery, and she is in need of our assistance. If you work for the state of California and can share hours to support her as she recuperates, please, my brothers and sisters, please consider donating your catastrophic leave time. Listen, it may be her today, but it may be you tomorrow. And I pray that you hear this appeal. If you work for the state and you got a whole lot of time that you literally can donate to help our sister, I pray you do it that way. And I pray you keep her in your prayers as she recovers, as well as her children and her husband and her family. Keep them in prayer as she recovers. Don't forget our COVID testing. Is on Fridays. Look at the website so that you can see the dates and the hours and all the times for our COVID testing and vaccinations. We're still testing and we're still vaccinating our people. It's not over, and so I'm encouraging you to get vaccinated. Then lastly, beloved, as we close out, I want to encourage you to give. Thank you for those of you who heard my appeal last week. Again, I drop it on the floor again for you today. Those of you who have been giving, I want to thank God for you. Those of you who can, we need a good offering. We want to close out this year strong. We got so much planned that we've got to do in the coming year and in the last quarter of this year. And I pray that you are honoring your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you've been doing over the year. And I am grateful for God moving on you in a special way. So don't remember to give. And also remember our scholarship. We are above our expectation on our scholarship, and I know I'm asking that you continue to get add a little extra in there for our scholarship. We want to eventually build an endowment so that money itself will not be a problem, that we can live off the interest that we put in the bank so that we can allow our children to go to school, help our children to go to school for years to come. Amen and amen. All right, beloved, let's close out in a word of prayer. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you again, oh God, for this opportunity as we worship you today in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who led us in Zion songs. Thank you for every one that tuned in via the internet or social media, Lord. We're grateful for them as we worship together on this day. Lord, we pray that you help us to walk in holiness. We understand the urgency of the need as well as what you're asking us to do, and it's on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne of grace, unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless, and may the Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Peace.